KJAN, Radio Atlantic.
And at 8 o'clock, it's mostly cloudy and 21 degrees in Atlantic. We look for cloudy skies today, a chance of scattered light rain this afternoon, and a high around 37. Good morning. I'm Rick Hansen with KJAN News. Two Iowa departments say they're investigating complaints of restraints, assault, and sexual abuse at a foster home and a treatment facility for troubled youth from Iowa and other states. The Des Moines Register reports that Iowa's Human Services and Inspections and Appeals departments are looking into the allegations against the Clarinda Academy and into any problems with the Woodward Academy. Both are owned by Alabama-based Sequel Youth and Family Services. A federally mandated protection and advocacy organization in the state of Washington alleged earlier this year that foster children were being held against their will at the Clarinda facility, were subjected to excessive restraint, and were verbally abused. Sequel Executive Vice President Steve Gilbert told the newspaper that Iowa officials completed their on-site audit in September at Clarinda and noted no deficiencies and renewed the full licensure status. A Roman Catholic diocese is defending its decision to continue employing a priest who told police that he was trying to rape a woman when he was arrested naked in an Iowa mall in 2013. The Diocese of Sioux City on Wednesday acknowledged the five-year-old arrest of Reverend Jeremy Wind, describing it as a mental health episode from which he has recovered. Police reports obtained by the Associated Press show that Wind was meeting with a parishioner at a Sioux Center bakery in December of 2013 when he began behaving erratically. He eventually took off his pants, shoes, and socks and chased the woman. She locked herself in a car while Wind pounded on her window. The woman eventually drove off. Police arrested Wind at a mall after he punched an officer. Wind later pleaded guilty to disorderly conduct. Police in Harlan report three recent arrests. Last Friday, 24-year-old Kajaya Meeks of Harlan was arrested following a traffic stop. Meeks was transported to the Shelby County Jail, where she was charged with operating while intoxicated and disorderly conduct. On November 20th, 29-year-old Ty Ross Dean Hatcher of Avoca was arrested in Harlan following a traffic stop. Hatcher was transported to the Shelby County Jail, where he was charged with driving while suspended, speeding, and violation of financial liability. That same day, 36-year-old Christopher Daniel Ivey of Harlan was arrested following a traffic stop. Ivey was transported to the Shelby County Jail and charged with OWI, no valid driver's license, and speeding. The Harlan Police Department has also issued a reminder to dog owners. The 2019 dog licenses are now available at the police department. This year, the cost of the tag is $10 per animal, and you must bring proof of rabies inoculation with you when you register. Failure to register by January 31st may result in additional fines. Police in Creston said today that a woman from Hayden, Iowa, reported Wednesday morning that sometime between April 1st and May 31st, a utility trailer she owns, located in the 200 block of Myrtle Street in Creston, had been broken into several times. A number of items were stolen, including CDs, movies, comic books, wedding photos, and a suitcase. The loss was estimated at $150. A change of command is taking place in Sioux City's 185th Air Refueling National Guard Unit. The Iowa National Guard says Sioux City native Colonel Mark Muckey has been selected as the next wing commander of the unit. Colonel Muckey says it's a great opportunity to come home 30 years after he joined the 185th when he was in high school. And Muckey joined the Guard at the age of 17 while he was still going to the Sioux City East High School and later decided it was selected to go to pilot training. He went to college at Morningside and Iowa State and says it's an absolutely amazing opportunity. Muckey flew the A-7 Corsair and eventually ended up in Oklahoma. He's a command pilot with more than 4,000 flying hours, primarily in the U.S. Air Force C-130 Hercules and the KC-135 Stratotanker. Colonel Muckey is currently the Air National Guard advisor to the Air Mobility Command Inspector General in St. Louis, where he helps to oversee several units.
All the wings that fall under Air Mobility Command, active guard and reserve, and give them checkups. Provide inspections to them and give them feedback on their performance.
Colonel Muckey will overlap command duties in Sioux City with the current commander, Colonel Larry Christensen, for a few months beginning in January. Christensen is being promoted to Brigadier General and has been selected as the Chief of Staff for the Iowa Air National Guard at Camp Dodge in Des Moines, and that will mean some new duties for Christensen.
Probably one of the major things is to represent our Adjutant General, Major General Tim Moore, in different aspects of the Iowa National Guard, whether that be Air or Army. And to manage the staff down there at Joint Force Headquarters, working with not only the 185th, but also the 132nd, the wing down in Des Moines, and also, which is part of the 185th, the 133rd in Fort Dodge.
He will assume his new position following a formal handoff of the wing leadership to Colonel Muckey. A formal change of command ceremony will be planned for a later date. The director of the Iowa Department of Transportation says in the past 11 years, the number of structurally deficient bridges on state-maintained highways in Iowa has been reduced by 80%.
From 2006 to 2017, we've driven that number down from 256 to 51.
That's Iowa DOT Director Mark Lowe, who says he expects just 46 state-owned bridges to be classified as structurally deficient when the state budgeting year ends on June 30th.
It just reflects a continued focus on bringing up the condition of the system. So of the 24,000 bridges in the state, 4,000 are on our primary system. That means that less than 1% of those bridges right now in our primary system are structurally deficient.
The Iowa DOT website has an Iowa Bridge Condition Index, which indicates whether a state-maintained bridge is in good, fair, or poor condition. The DOT notes that if the bridge is rated in good condition, that means it's adequate for today's traffic and vehicle loads. Bridges rated in poor condition are not unsafe, according to the DOT, but should be considered for repair, replacement, and additional monitoring, or perhaps limit on the weight of vehicles that may travel over a bridge. The vast majority of Iowa bridges, 24,000, are on highways, roads, and streets maintained by cities and counties. Elsewhere in state news, a California company plans to reopen a Hamilton County truck stop that closed last month. Pat Powers reports.
Anyway Logistics Incorporated of Fresno purchased the Boondocks USA truck stop near Williams for $500,000 during an auction held on Wednesday. It'll be the first truck stop to be owned by Anyway Logistics. The Boondocks truck stop closed on October 20th after 45 years of operation by owners Bob and Miriam Welch. The reason for the closing was due to competition from nearby truck stops and finding enough employees. The truck stop hosts a diner and a 30-unit motel located off Interstate 35 near Williams. The truck stop served as a haven for stranded motorists during adverse winter weather. No date has been set for the reopening of the truck stop. From Webster City, I'm Pat Powers.
Cerro Gordo County court records say a Clear Lake woman who crashed into a deputy's vehicle while driving drunk was sentenced to a year in jail, but all but 2 days were suspended. Records say 44-year-old Stacy Lester pleaded guilty to OWI. She was also fined $1,250 at her sentencing last week and given 2 years of probation. Authorities say Lester ran into the rear of the deputy's squad car while the deputy was outside the vehicle, speaking with the driver during a traffic stop in Clear Lake on October 27th. No one was injured. Lester fled the scene, but was caught by the deputy within a few blocks. Police in central Iowa are investigating after they say they found homemade pipe bombs following a traffic stop in Marshalltown. Authorities say 48-year-old Timothy Andrew Cluck has been charged with being a felon in possession of an offensive weapon and other counts. Police say Cluck was stopped earlier this week on suspicion of driving with a suspended license when officers discovered a pipe bomb in his vehicle. Authorities say a search of his home turned up another pipe bomb and other bomb-making materials, as well as drug paraphernalia. Marshalltown Police Sergeant Brian Batterson said that police don't know Cluck's intent for the bombs. They're going through Cluck's electronic devices to try and find out why he made them. An eastern Iowa man has been sentenced to more than 2 years in federal prison for bilking a bank out of more than $850,000. Federal prosecutors for Iowa say 63-year-old David Gianetto of Marion was sentenced Wednesday in Cedar Rapids Federal Courthouse to 27 months in prison. He was also ordered to pay restitution and had pleaded guilty to one count of bank fraud back in May. Officials say Gianetto had operated a freight business and created more than 600 fake invoices over 2 years that he used to secure more than $850,000 in loans from the bank. Gianetto was unable to repay the loans before closing his business and declaring bankruptcy. An eastern Iowa man has been sentenced to 30 years in federal prison for the drug overdose of two people in Illinois. Federal prosecutors in Iowa say 50-year-old Larry Lazez Bolden of Davenport was sentenced Tuesday after pleading guilty in June to possession or distribution of a controlled substance, resulting in death. There is no parole in the federal system. Investigators say that on various dates in December of 2016 and January of 2017, Bolden distributed heroin containing morphine and fentanyl, a powerful synthetic opioid, to people who then sold the drugs to others at a Davenport hotel. One person died January 20th, 2017 in Rock Island, Illinois after ingesting the drug. Another person died 9 days later in Moline, Illinois after using it. That is a check of the news on KJAN. I'm Rick Hansen reporting.